Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry.
I have a phenomenal woman with me, and this is the breakup doctor. Her name is Dr. Andrea Liner, and I am so excited because she is going to tell us all about breaking up and how to recover from it, because that can be heartbreaking, clearly. Yeah. But Dr. Andrea, please tell us about you and your story, and we would love to just dive right in.
Absolutely. So I'm Dr. Andrea. I'm a breakup doc. And I really am passionate about helping people through their breakups, helping them heal, helping them getting to feel better, and then using that as a launch point to have ripple effects on the rest of their life, you know, really figuring out those relationship patterns, healing from any previous relational trauma, and then getting a better solid relationship in their life so that they can do all the wonderful things that they want to do with a partnership. So thrilled to be here. And yeah, I guess, I mean, the story, it's a little juicy, I suppose.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
I am a clinical psychologist first and foremost. So I did a lot of school for a really long time, as you're familiar with. And when I was in the final year of my doctoral program, which is kind of like a residency is how I describe it to people. There's a match, you get told where you're going and you work full time as, in my case, as a counseling psychologist, really like doing therapy. So I matched at a university in DC, the Catholic University of America. And I basically had 90% of my caseload that year be people going through breakups and looking for help healing from them, which would have been interesting on its own. But at the same time, my boyfriend of 5 years broke up with me, seemingly out of nowhere. You know, now in hindsight, I can see the signs and stuff. I've done a lot of processing around it, obviously. So it was just this really interesting experience of me going through it personally and helping other people go through it personally. And through that, like I was learning so much from my clients while I was helping them. And I kind of came out with this framework, a little bit of how to get over a breakup, like the healthiest way, the most mature way, the way that's going to lead to the healthiest, most successful relationships in the future. And so when I started my therapy practice, when I moved back to Denver, my hometown, that was a lot of what I was helping people with. I named my practice Flux Psychology because I loved helping kind of young adults who are in flux. And what's a better example of being in flux than getting out of a relationship? So that was always a passion. And then last year I decided, why not just create a separate business, a coaching business focused on breakups where I can, you know, I'm not limited by the jurisdiction issues of licensed clinical psychology. I can help people around the world. I can do it virtually and create kind of some new ways to help people. So it's my passion project and I'm just loving doing it.
Oh, I love that. And you know, because you've never, like, I've never heard of somebody doing like breakup coaching, being able to help people heal. Obviously there's other aspects to it, relationship coaching, but not breakup coaching. And that's why I find it so fascinating. But I didn't know that of your, at least with your doctorate, when you were going through, as you call it, the residency, I know, like practicum, internships, mm-hmm. but being able to see that pattern and noticing and then going through it yourself, I mean, I can't even imagine, because there's a lot of counter transference or transference sometimes when we're in that field. But
absolutely. Yes.
But I think too, it just shows that sometimes our path is shown to us, and like being able to fall into that in coaching and being able to help people through a breakup. What is the most common thing you see so far with your clients in the coaching world now?
Yeah. So the majority of my clients, I help people at kind of different phases and different angles of the breakup. Like I help people who did the breaking up. I help people who were broken up with. I help people who are contemplating a breakup. I help people who are years out of a breakup but are noticing that it's still impacting them in their dating life. So there's variety, but I would say that the majority are, you know, just the kindest, most compassionate people who have somehow, and we could talk about why this happens, have ended up in relationships with people who are a little bit more manipulative or tend to take advantage of that compassion. And then there is a rug thing pulled out from under them, where all of a sudden they're not as useful to the partner anymore, and the partner breaks up with them, and they're just left crushed, feeling like, I did everything for this person, I loved this person, how could this happen to me? And they're just, you know, the way I put it, puddles on the floor for a little while, just kind of world wrecked. And that is the starting point with a lot of my clients.
Interesting. Because I mean, I think everyone does deal with breakups so differently too. Just the fact that you're saying people could not realize that it's still impacting them in like their previous relationships with their new relationships, or not seeing those patterns, but being able to have that clinical background so strongly and merging it with coaching is so powerful and beautiful. So I definitely can attest to that. I love that. I'm curious, what are some things that I know you have like a toolkit for your clients, each is ever different, but what do you say is like some of the main tips, for instance, around like the tools that you give to your clients?
So this is going to sound maybe a little duh, maybe a little corny, but the biggest thing, it's a mindset issue for most people. It's all about the perspective that you're taking and the narrative that you're assigning to the breakup. So as humans, we assign meaning to everything all the time. Like a date on the calendar, for example, let's say December 25th is just a date, but as a culture, and you know, there's a religious component to this, but we've assigned the value of Christmas to that. So now December 25th for a lot of people in America means Christmas. That's an assigned meaning. That's not inherently there. And then we do the same thing with our relationships, with breakups. Most people are choosing to stay in pain about their breakup, whether they mean to or not. It's usually happening on that unconscious level, but they are romanticizing the pain. And I think our pop culture really helps with this in ways. You think of Olivia Rodrigo songs, right? Let's think about the lyrics to Driver's License for a minute. Like there's a romanticizing, there's a wanting to stay in it, wanting to stay sad, wanting to stay angry, wanting to assign this meaning. You're doing this for her now, like kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be that way. If you assign a narrative to your breakup that this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me, I'm never going to find love again, how could he? It means this. You're going to be stuck in that healing process a lot longer than if you can change the narrative to, all right, here are the things that, you know, didn't work out. Here are the things that I wasn't comfortable with throughout the relationship. These are the things that didn't match up for me values-wise. And using that to spin a new narrative, which is, okay, I learned a lot, I even had some fun, but this wasn't right for me, and I'm going to build something better in the future. Just making that mindset shift, world's different.
That's so true. You know, I like think about like my past breakups to get a little personal for a minute, but I think too, it's that mindset is so strong. Like I never even really put that perspective on. I knew it's like looking at it and reframing it, but it truly is the mindset. But looking back of, okay, well, the values didn't match up, or just they're a great person, just we weren't a great fit. And no matter how upsetting it is, in hindsight, it's always 20/20. And you realize like what you were saying earlier about your relationship too, like seeing the signs or seeing where things might have not added up. Mm-hmm. And I know that's like with a lot of my friends or my clients as well, like seeing that for them too, it's so clear. It's crystal clear after the fact, but during it, it's that like the intense emotions, because our emotions are so big, especially when it comes to love. Yes. I know you know more than that than I do, but especially your specialty. But I like even being a marriage and family therapist when I was like seeing couples and the relationship aspect, but the fact that I think it's so healing too, because a lot of people miss that step. And do you think a lot of people, like especially that you've worked with or have seen, where they jump from relationship to relationship and don't have that time to heal? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So the way I describe it to clients, so first of all, I'm not opposed to rebound relationships in general. I mean, yeah. You have to do it for the right reasons and it's not play. But I'm not opposed to that. And I don't think that there's a set amount of time that people need to be single necessarily. Mm-hmm. But what you need to do is you need to clean your house in between people. Mm-hmm. And so what I describe to some clients, the ones who bounce around relationship to relationship, you're living in a haunted house. There are ghosts everywhere. Mm-hmm. And you need to like do an exorcism. You've got to light some, you know, proverbial sage here to clear them out. Because what ends up happening is these ghosts haunt our future relationships. And what we end up doing oftentimes is we make our current partners pay the bill that the last partner left. So if you haven't really done a lot of healing and processing around what actually happened in that last relationship, what your own contributions were in that breakup and in that relationship, if you're not paying attention to that, that's going to follow you around and it's going to taint future relationships.
Well said. Well said. Because it is true. I love that example you gave about the houses and like getting stuck with the bill because I do think like it is the ghosts that stay there and you're constantly sometimes ruminating of like, well, I could have done something different or I should have done something different. And then it keeps you stuck, like you were saying too, and not allowing you to move forward and not fully heal. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, would you say that once you are in the healing process and you meet somebody new, what are your thoughts on that when it comes to, because a lot of people say, well, you can like get over someone by starting with somebody new. Like, what are your thoughts around that?
So I use a lot of medical analogies, like, you know, my brand is the breakup doc and, you know, I'm working on my program, Breakup Hospital and things like that. And so I like to use analogies in the medical world. Mm-hmm. So basically what happens in that example is like you have a stress fracture on your leg and you're continuing to run on it. Now, technically you can, you are physically able to move. It is technically supporting your weight, but it hurts a lot and you're probably going to cause more damage. That's probably going to progress from a stress fracture to like a break. And so it's not that you can't do it, but you're creating more problems for yourself down the road. So you want to make sure that you're healed enough and like cleared for that physical exercise in a way. So that healing process, and it looks different for everybody, but if you are still thinking about your ex the majority of the time, if you are still making associations to your ex, most places you are, most things you do, if they're coming out of your mouth a lot, if when you're having a conversation with someone and all you're thinking about is, oh, I did that with my ex, or, oh, well, my ex would have said it this way or something like that, you're not cleared. You're not cleared yet. You're going to be bringing all of that old baggage, those ghosts in the new stuff with you. And you're not going to be able to fully benefit from it or potentially see new red flags that are coming up with the new partner. You're going to be too distracted by the pain that's still coming up from the old. So it looks a little different for everyone, but I'd say, you know, if you're at a point where you're able to get them off your mind, you're able to think about things in a future that doesn't involve them, then you're probably ready. And there still might be things that harken back to the old relationship, wounds that might not be as healed, scars that are still a little fresh, and that's okay. But you have to be at a conscious level with those things, because once things are conscious, as we know, that's when you can do something about it.
Exactly. No, I love that. I think that's so true too, because it is being able to understand, is it an open wound where it's like bleeding versus it's just a scar and you're seeing it, you're aware of it, and you are able to communicate through it. And what do you say with like communication with breakups? And because sometimes people will continue to talk to their ex and they're trying to heal from it. What are your thoughts around that too, if they have gone through the breakup?
Yeah. So, you know, barring any complicated scenarios, like you're still having to live together or you're co-parenting or something like that, mm-hmm. whenever possible, I am a huge advocate for at least 30 days of no contact with your ex after the breakup. And I don't mean that, you know, I say 30 days for a reason. Like, it doesn't have to be forever. Usually people want to keep going with it for a little while, say 30 days at bare minimum. Yeah. But think of it like a breakup being like a giant gash on your arm. This is the analogy I give a lot. And it needs time to close up, scab over, and then officially heal. And every time that you're in contact with your ex while that wound is still fresh, you're opening it back up. You're picking that scab. And we know that when you pick scabs, you start bleeding, you might get an infection, and you're going to have a nastier scar than if you just left it alone. So you need that period of time to adjust to a new normal, and then potentially you can reconnect. I'm friends with one of my exes especially, and but we needed that period of time where it was very clear that we are not in a romantic relationship with each other anymore to set the foundation for a new form of relationship. So, and then in messier relationships, like, the no contact can extend for perpetuity if we want it to.
No, you know, that's so, I think that's so important to have that no contact, like, as a minimum of 30 days, because I do think it gives you that time to heal. It gives you that time to see yourself away from that person as well. Like, you can start to rebuild and life will look a little bit different depending on how much time you spent together, things along those lines. But I definitely can see how that's so imperative when you are dealing with a breakup.
Yeah. And a lot of people can't do it on their own, and then they feel like a failure. and they feel like they can't heal and there's something wrong with them. It's just such a natural human thing to struggle with something like that. And that's why, you know, support exists in the world, whether in the form of therapy or coaching or whatnot. Like, we need some extra support sometimes to get through things like that. So if you're currently going through a breakup and you're listening to this and you haven't been able to maintain no contact, that's so normal. Please don't feel bad. But I think it could be helpful if you could commit to it.
Absolutely. No, I think that's really important to say. But, and I want to ask you, when it comes to like working with your clients, like what are some of your foundational pieces of working with your clients?
Yeah. So I take my clients kind of through a framework, and there's flexibility because things come up that, you know, we want to address, you know, that we didn't know the last week. So, so I don't stick to too firm of an agenda, but the general framework, like first we're stopping the bleeding. I call it like you're in the ambulance, right? Like you just got hit by the semi truck and like, how can we just stabilize you? At this point, it doesn't matter who was driving the truck, who was in the wrong, you know, the legal ramifications of an accident like that. All we're focused on is getting you stable. So at first it's a lot of a toolbox of coping mechanisms and reaching out to support networks and what's the healthy way to use our support networks and how can we revisit old hobbies we might have neglected? How can we reconnect with friends? How can we clear our physical space of reminders of the ex, like just kind of some tangibles. And then we move into kind of a, what I call like the x-ray diagnostic portion, which is, you know, what were those red flags that you realize you kind of ignored in hindsight? What were the things that didn't work for you in this relationship? And I take people through, I jokingly call it toxic negativity.
Ah.
People always think we live in this age of toxic positivity, you know, and
yes,
I call it toxic negativity as a joke. It's not toxic, but you know, at this point, looking for the silver lining in your breakup is not, it's not the right time for that. We'll get there. But right now, like we need to take the rose colored glasses off. We need to look at the things that didn't work about the ship and focus on that, because that is what helps keep you from doing the backslide. Reaching back out, oh, we can make this work, you know, so we really kind of focus in on that. And then we move to kind of looking inward, what was maybe your contribution? What are your relational dynamics? And this is where I really get to use my psychology background in a way that other coaches might not have as much access to, where we kind of talk about what were the early relationship models that were set for you? What did you see growing up? What were you explicitly told about relationships? What were you implicitly shown about relationships? And kind of understanding how someone's own dynamics come to the picture and how that interfered with the relationship, how that's impacting the type of healing and the process that they need. So once we get there, then we kind of move into what do you want in the future? And we take that list of the negatives, the red flags and everything, and we kind of use that as a blueprint, translate it into positives and good qualities that you would actually look for in a future partner. And do a little kind of mindset manifestation work around that.
Ooh, I love that. I've done something similar to that in the past because I do think it works, you know, because I don't know if you've ever done this with something I've done, and maybe you do this with your clients, but like writing the list of qualities you want from a future partner. And I would look at, see, like, do I have those qualities? If I don't have those qualities, how am I asking for that? Or what's within reason? I don't know if that's something you do, but that was like part of my manifestation.
Yes, I love that. And that's so important because I think we're living in this age. I love how, you know, popular some of this like pop culture psychology has become, and and these phrases and terms that are getting in the zeitgeist, and people are talking about things like, you know, gaslighting and toxic relationships, and it's all over Instagram and TikTok. And I'm so glad there are conversations. Mm-hmm. But I do think we've gone a little too far where there's a lot of this mentality of like, if they can't handle me, they don't deserve me. Mm. You know, and we need to be looking in the mirror. We need to be looking at what our own contributions are. So absolutely, that's a part of what we do.
I love that. And I do think too, it's a relationship takes two people. If it's one-sided, that's like one person. I mean, the relationship with yourself is the most important, but being able to have that relationship too, I think you keep bringing it up because it's so important about how it's looking in the mirror as well, looking at yourself and how you contributed to that breakup just as much, because it takes two to tango. Right. But I think that's really, I wanted to drive that home. It's again, because I do think it's really important. It's so important. Yeah. So I could talk to you for hours, but I do have kind of like a rapid couple questions for you so everyone can get to know you a little bit more, and then we'll go for that. Okay, so the first question I have is, who is your hero?
Oh, I feel like this is such a lame answer, but I would have to say probably my mom.
That's not a lame answer.
A lot of people say that, but just, I feel like it's like the easy phone in answer, but I do mean it because, you know, everyone, we do bicker and things in our mother-daughter relationship, but I mean, she's the whole reason I'm here. Her level of emotional support and believing in me, I think is a huge part of why I'm here. And she's the most reliable support, you know, I'd ever have. She always told me, I always have your back. And sometimes your friends should have your back most of the time, but no one's ever going to have your back 100% of the time like I do. And I believe that. So I'm very grateful for her.
I love that. And yes, I hear mom a lot too, but it just shows like how powerful moms are and how much influence they have on our lives. And I'm so glad that you have that because I think it's so important. So I love that answer. My next question is, what motivates you to work hard?
I think I am so privileged to be in a field that directly impacts people's lives the way that therapy and coaching does. Like it's not a middleman. Like I'm directly in people's lives. And so knowing that my clients are waiting for me, are depending on me, are learning from me, and I learn from them too. Like, it's just, that's what keeps me going. Like I'm not going to take a day off when I have clients to see because they're everything and it's energizing and I want to be reliable for them. So it's really, I think it's my clients that motivate me.
Oh, I love that. That's amazing. Because it's true, you know, when you are passionate about what you do and the fact that you are making such a difference in this world and for each and every one of your clients, that just shows, it glows through the screen right now. So if you were to be a superhero, what powers would you have?
Oh, teleportation, hands down.
Oh my gosh. Okay, why?
I hate me. I hate being in progress getting places unless it's like a very scenic, like, you know, driving to the mountains kind of thing. But like, oh, if I could just snap my fingers and suddenly like be in Paris or be at my friend's house or, you know, be on the beach, oh, that would be everything to me. I want to just be able to teleport.
I want that one too. That's a great one. If you could share a meal with any four individuals living or dead, who would they be?
I'm so bad at this question because I feel like I should be saying something like really worldly. Like I want to meet with, you know, President Lincoln and hear about what it was like for him at that time. And as fascinating as that is, I like to laugh over dinner. Yeah. Like the best meals that I have with people are where we're just laughing the whole time. So I think I'd have to pick four of the funniest people. So I would love to have been able to have a meal with Robin Williams. Cracks me up. I'm a big John Mulaney fan. I would love to have dinner with John Mulaney and just have him crack me up the whole time. And gosh, who are my other favorite people who make me laugh? There's so many and I'm blanking, which is embarrassing, but other really funny people. Maybe we put Betty White in there because I'm feeling very sad about that loss.
I know. Betty White. Amazing woman. Amazing woman. Well, thank you for sharing those. And those were great answers. That would be a fun dinner, I think, or meal.
Laugh the whole time.
Exactly. What is the most daring thing you have ever done?
Oh, the most daring thing I've ever done is probably, I don't know if it was technically cliff diving, because I don't know if they were technically tall enough to call it that, but I was in Croatia and mm-hmm. we were just jumping into the Adriatic Sea at this national park in a way that I actually feel in the States, like we wouldn't have been allowed to.
Oh.
Would have been like signage and like, but that was pretty wild. That was one of the scariest things I've done.
I love that. I've never done it, but it seems really scary.
Falling for a while. You're just like, oh god, this is a long trip down.
I can imagine. That's very daring. I don't know if I'm that daring. Well, good for you. That sounds like a fun time. If you're daring enough, within reason. The next question is, what's the phone app you use most, like for business, for personal use?
Definitely Instagram. I am an Instagram junkie. I mean, it's the platform I use the most to connect with my clients and potential clients. And then I just love using it personally as well. I'm a big meme person. I I guess I have a theme today. I just really like to laugh. And part of that's because the work I do is kind of heavy sometimes. So got to balance it out with some levity.
Definitely do. So what's your favorite meme since we're on memes right now?
How do I pick? Oh my gosh. I'm caught off guard. There's so many. There's one I share all the time. It was like a repost of something. I'm going to mess it up. Come back to me on this one.
All right.
We will. I do so many. I mean, any of my friends who follow my personal account, I'm just reposting memes like all day long. So.
Well, so if anybody can guess what the meme is, put it in the comment section.
Tell me what my favorite meme is.
We'll find out maybe at the end. Right. What is the last book you read?
Ooh, the last book I read. You Are a Badass at Making Money by Jen Sincero.
Such a good book. I've read that like multiple times.
Yes. I'm sure you can relate. In our field, we're taught how to do therapy. We're taught how to help people. We're not taught business at all. We're not taught how to deal with finances, how to have a money mindset, none of that. So it was very eye-opening.
Yeah, it's a very foreign concept, at least in grad school.
Yeah, absolutely.
At least where we went. Yeah. Can't speak for everyone else, but what would you want to, like, if you were to have a movie about your life, who would you want to be the main character as you?
Oh, such a good question. Who would play me? I feel like I'm not the right age, but I think I would love Kate Hudson to play me because she's such a like rom-com leading lady.
Oh, she is. She's just beautiful on screen.
Yeah, she's just fun. And I feel my mom used to get told that she reminded people of Goldie Hawn, who's Kate Hudson's mom. And
yeah.
My mom looked a little like, so I think I have to say Kate Hudson, but that I know that's giving myself a huge compliment. And it's, but I think that would make me feel really good.
Stand in that power.
My inner Kate Hudson.
Yeah, exactly. Let her know. My next question is, what's your favorite family's like favorite recipe?
Ooh, so my family is Jewish, and so we do a lot of like traditional Jewish cooking. So I think when my mom's challah is just to die for, and I have the recipe, and whenever I try to make it, doesn't come out the same. Like I follow all the instructions, but hers has got that like mother's love in it. The difference. And then she'll make French toast out of it. It's so good. So it's like probably our simplest family recipe, but the one we do the most.
Oh my god, I love challah bread. It's my favorite. Yeah. So good. Now I'm like, I want that. I want some French toast right now. Okay. If you had to describe yourself as an animal, which one would it be?
I would be a sloth.
Why sloth?
I'm a total sleepy girl. Like that is my husband would concur with this. If I'm not actively like doing an activity at work with a client, my favorite place to be is just wrapped up in blankets. So I very much relate to the sloth.
I like that explanation. I wasn't expecting that explanation, but I love it.
You're so energetic. Like because I got my nap in. So
hey, naps are amazing. They do wonders. Maybe I'm a sloth too. what's one thing you can instantly, like one thing that makes your day instantly better?
Ooh, food.
What kind of food?
Usually some form of Asian food. My favorite is sushi, but I also really like dim sum and like just traditional Szechuan cuisine. Mm-hmm. Or I need something super cheesy and pasta-y and carby. So like Italian or Asian food.
Done deal. Those both sound really good. I mean, this is getting me so hungry.
I know, right? We're just talking about food. When my husband and I were first dating, and I remember I had a bad day and he texted me. He's like, okay, well, what can I feed you? And I was like, oh, this guy, this is something.
Golden. Golden rock star. What's the... your favorite way to take a day off? Like what's one thing you like to do or when you do have a day off?
Yeah. Well, my productive version of a day off is like going to a bar class, having coffee or lunch with a friend, maybe getting like a manicure, a facial, something kind of spa-y, and then cuddling with a nice glass of wine and a movie. But my unproductive day off is in bed all day long, binging something, just total waste of space. That's my ideal. So today it depends if I need to feel a little productive or not.
And that's good. And, you know, I just want to bring something up real quick. Like, I think people think that we always have to be productive or anything along those lines, but it's important that we have those extreme days where it's like we do nothing or we do everything or we do something in between. Because I do think it's important that we take care of ourselves, but also listen to our bodies. So I just wanted to bring that up because I think that's
Amen. Yes.
And then my last question of these rapid questions, what's something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
Really good question. I like to say, I don't think outsiders totally understand how much we actually care about our clients. I think outsiders can be like, oh, it's just a job. It's a transaction. Someone's paying you for your time. But my clients take up so much of my mental bandwidth, even when I'm not meeting with them. I'm thinking about them all the time. I genuinely care. And I'm at a point in my career where I don't take on clients that I don't think I could have that genuine care for. So, you know, if you are a client of mine, like, you are taking up mental space in my brain and my heart.
I love that. Because you do care, and it just shows through. And I think when you love what you do and every day you're putting that energy and that time and effort to make sure that the client's getting everything that they need from your sessions, from your coaching as well. Which brings me to my next question is, where can people find you?
Yes. Well, I mentioned I hang out on Instagram all the time. So the best way to find me is on Instagram. I'm Dr. Andrea Liner, just dr.andrea.liner on Instagram. I also have a free Facebook community called the Breakup Clinic. It's free to join, and my goal, it's new, it's small, but my goal is to make that a community where people can hang out and support each other and vent and talk about all the stuff that maybe they're worried their friends are sick of hearing about. And then I go in there once a week with some tips and advice, on a live. So that's a great place to hang out with me, Instagram. And then I also have private coaching that I offer that you can find a link in my bio on Instagram, where I help people kind of personally handhold through the healing process and back out into the dating world.
Well, I'll definitely link those below so you can make sure to follow Dr. Liner, because she is amazing. And I'm so excited that we had this opportunity to talk today and just hear more about what you're doing in the breakup world, being that medical doctor for breakups.
Yes.
And I think that's so important, but I appreciate your time and thank you so much for joining us on The Morning Cup. We'll definitely have to have you back at some point soon, because I know there's so much more to uncover, but thank you again for being here and sharing with our audience.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
And everyone, make sure to like and subscribe, and we will see you on the next video.